Thanks, Sam, and thank all of you for being here tonight. We had a great afternoon at the Fall Fest. We had a full house, and everybody had a wonderful, wonderful time. And the children really, really enjoyed it, and the adults did too. I don't know how many cakes David Sparks won this afternoon at the cakewalk, but anybody know? Chloe probably does. How many? Three?
Two.
Two? Oh, he won more than that. Well, he walked out with more than that. But I'll tell you, we had a great time. It was a great day, and thanks to all of you who made it possible. It was a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. You know, all of us at times get depressed and down and dejected. I suppose probably every one of us have found ourselves in the throes of depression at some point or another. We have all been there. Sometimes I feel like we're like the pessimist. He's the man who feels bad when he feels good for fear that he'll feel worse when he feels better. And you've been around people like that. Well, I want you to think with me tonight on the subject, be of good cheer. Now, you may think tonight, well, you know, I just don't have anything to cheer about. You really do. And as a preface, I want us to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Philippians, chapter 4, and I want us to read, beginning in verse 4, down through verse 13. When Paul was in prison, Paul is writing these words to the Philippian brethren to encourage and motivate, to stimulate their relationship with each other and with God. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. He said, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. And be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, if there be any virtue, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. He says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am in therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound, he says, and to suffer need. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Be of good cheer. You know, that really was a message that Christ brought. And even though there were times when Christ spoke very affirmatively about sin and how we get rid of it, there were times when God, through Christ, would give us the reassurance of the salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus. And Paul would endeavor, Peter would endeavor, every one of the apostles would. John, go back and read the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, even the book of Revelation or the Gospel of John. You would find it to be true that Christ wants us to be a people that are joyful in the Lord. This is not the only time we read about that. Even in the Old Testament, God wanted his people to be of good cheer. For the word of God says in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8, he says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when David sinned and he came back into a covenant relationship with God, he says in Psalm chapter 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to lose our joy. And it happens maybe because of a number of things that take place in our life. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about the joy of the Lord and the fact that you and I ought to be people that are people of good cheer. You know, the Bible speaks of Onesiphorus in the Bible as one who often refreshed the spirit of the Apostle Paul. Now, you don't read about Onesiphorus much in the Bible, but what you read about him, he is a very positive, motivational type person. And this individual is one, the Bible says, that he refreshed Paul's spirit. Paul, matter of fact, when he writes this book, he tries to encourage the brethren. He said, look, be sure and greet Onesiphorus because he refreshed my spirit. And notice what he says, often. Let me ask you a question. How often do you refresh the spirits of other people? How often? Or would you consider yourself tonight a spirit refresher, or would you be one that perhaps suppresses the joyful spirit of those around you? There are 5 points in my lesson tonight, and if you're taking notes, you might want to jot these down, or maybe make a mental note of it. I would tell you, first of all, it is easier for us to look at the bad side of things. You know, we are a people that are prone to look at the bad instead of the good. Maybe the news media has helped us to do that. We are a people that just normally think the worst is about to happen. It is going to get bad. We keep hearing that on the evening news. You hear it in the morning when you get out of bed. You listen to the morning news. The world is, going to collapse. The end is nearing. The euro is about to collapse. The dollar is going down. It's a terrible state of affairs in our world. Let me tell you something. In the midst of all of that, there is something for which you and I can rejoice, and that is that we have a relationship with God that supersedes any of it. Paul says, I've learned that in whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. If the dollar goes down, hey, you know, my joy is not based upon the value of the dollar or the euro. Listen, my relationship to God is the most important thing in all of the world, and for that I can be of good cheer. I can do what that song says that we often sing. Sing and be happy. And we ought to be a people like that. Sometimes we have a tendency to see the bad things of life. No matter what happens, there is going to be a dark side. There are some people that say that. And sometimes they're only grumpy and miserable, and they make people that way around them. Their only pleasure seems to be getting other people to agree that we live in a dismal, dark world. It's easy to see the problems of life. You know, several years ago, we had an incident that happened here. It was probably one of the most unusual weddings that I ever conducted. Now, I want you to kind of put this in perspective, what happened. And I can tell you this story tonight because this happened about 25 years ago, and no one goes here now that was in that wedding, okay? But don't let this out. You know, we always gather, well, most generally, and we always do things a little bit different. People do with weddings. I always tell people I don't do underwater weddings and I don't do telephone pole weddings. You know, there's some that go through all those kinds of things. But anyway, generally the men will wait right behind here. And when the music starts, the processional starts, then we would come out and we would get in line. Now, before that happens, however, the mothers are seated. And the men and I are standing back here in the back. The groom and the groomsman, the best man, all of us are standing back here waiting. And all of a sudden, I hear this commotion. I kind of stick my head around and look to see what's going on. And what had happened is that the bridesmaids had got confused. And they came down to the front, and they were already standing out here. This was a song that the mothers were supposed to be seated on. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, what do we do now? And all of a sudden, I see them make a mad dash, and they just start running back down this aisle. And they run all the way to the back. And I'm thinking, what do we do now? You know, what's next? And the grandmother was seated on the wrong side that night. She was supposed to be on the bride's side. She was sitting on the groom's side. She got confused. The groom forgot the ring. It was a miserable experience for those people, but I was really almost laughing inside, even though it was somewhat confusing. And you know, they laughed it off too. It could have been a very miserable, miserable experience for those in that wedding party, but they chose not to allow it to become such. You know, we have to be a people that look on the bright side. But it's easy for us to look on the bad side. Now, there's a second point that I want to share with you, and that is that depression happens to many people. Now, we may not understand it. We may not call it depression, but there are times. You know, in the Old Testament, some of God's greatest servants were people who got depressed. I think about Moses. There were times when Moses found himself in the deep, dark despair, the dungeon of depression. Go back and read the book of Numbers chapter 11 and you'll find that to be true, especially verses 11 through 17. He couldn't take the people's complaints any longer. They complained all day long. When Moses led them out of Egyptian bondage and they're out there in the wilderness and you know, they're just so unhappy about where they are, they're wondering, they could have made it to the promised land in just a short period of time, but because they chose to murmur and because they chose to complain against Moses, they're out there in the wilderness in a state of weariness. And Moses got fed up with the complaints. He just couldn't take it any longer. You know, the solution, he shared it with others. And I'll tell you one thing for sure. When we find ourselves in deep, dark depression, I really believe this, the best thing to do is talk to someone about your depression. I think about Joshua, who was defeated at Ai, and all the problems that were there as a result of the sin that led to it. I think about Elijah, who was in deep, dark depression when Jezebel was trying to kill him and to get rid of him. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4 through verse 14. You know what the solution was? Solomon understood it. Was to get busy. And that's why Solomon says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all of your might. You know what? You can really work through depression. You can. You can either choose to wallow in depression or you can choose to pull yourself up out of it. Be of good cheer. You see, he puts the burden on our back. It's something that we have to do. Nobody can make you happy. Nobody can make me happy. I've heard people in marriages sometimes say to one another, well, my husband just does not make me happy anymore. Well, bless your little pea-picking heart. Or my wife just does not bring cheer into my life anymore. We have to look on the bright side of life. Cheerfulness is something that you learn. It is true. We need to think cheery thoughts. You know, when you find yourself down, the best thing to do is think cheery thoughts. That's the way to pull yourself out of it. In the book of Proverbs 15 and verse 13, the Bible says that a cheery heart brings smiles, and it does. It makes us happy. What is inside is often reflected on the outside. Now just stop and think about it. Do you know that when you smile, you feel better? Don't you? Anybody in here feel bad when you smile? No. See what I'm talking about? Hey, that was prophetic, wasn't it? You smile, you feel good. Give the world a smile. You don't have to tell how you work or play. You don't have to tell each day. For a tried, true barometer serves in its place what you wear in your heart, you wear on your face. Smile. If you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Cheerful hearts, good medicine. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. People tend to become ill when sad and when they're nervous. Do you know it is a proven fact, doctors will tell you this, that people who have a bright outlook on life tend to heal much, much quicker. It is true. You know, sometimes they don't tell you much. You go to the doctor, you go to the hospital. I read something the other day. There was a sweet grandmother who telephoned St. Michael's Hospital. And she timidly asked the question. She said, is it possible to speak to someone who can tell me about a patient and how they're doing? The operator said, yes, I'll be glad to help, dear. What's the name and the number, room number? And the grandmother, in her weak, trembling voice, said, it is Norma Finley, and she is in room 302. The operator replied, let me place you on hold while I check with her nurse. After a few moments, the operator returned to the phone. Oh, good news. Her nurse has told me that Norma is doing very well. Her blood pressure is fine. Her blood work just came back as normal. And her physician, Dr. Cohen, has scheduled her to be discharged on Tuesday. And the grandmother said, thank you so much. That is wonderful news. I was so worried. God bless you for the good news. And the operator replied, you're more than welcome. Is Norma your daughter? And the grandmother said, no, I'm Norma Finley in 302. No one tells me anything. Is that true? Yeah. Cheerfulness is something that we all have to learn, and we have to look on the bright side of life. I have learned that we have to work through situations. One of the strangest things I ever read about was about a mature woman, lady, I guess you could say, over 70. She got pulled over for speeding, and the lady said to the officer, officer, is there a problem? And the officer said, ma'am, you were speeding. The older woman said, oh, I see. Officer said, can I see your license, please? The older woman said, well, I'd give you one, but I don't have one. And the officer said, you don't have one? The older woman said, lost it 4 years ago, drunk driving. The officer said, I see. Can I see your vehicle registration papers, please? And the older woman said, well, I can't do that. The officer said, why not? Woman said, I stole this car. The officer said, stole the car? The older woman said, yes, and I killed and hacked up the owner. The officer said, you what? The older woman said, his body parts are in plastic bags in the trunk if you want to see. The officer looked at the woman and slowly backed away from the car and called for backup. Within 5 minutes, five police cars had circled her car. A senior officer slowly approached the car, clasping his half-drawn gun. Officer 2 said, ma'am, could you step out of your vehicle, please? And the woman stepped out of her vehicle. The older woman said, is there a problem, sir? The officer number 2 said, well, one of my officers told me that you have stolen this car and that you murdered the owner. The older woman said, murdered the owner? Officer 2 said, yes, could you please open up the trunk of your car? The woman walked to the back, opened up the trunk, revealing nothing but an empty trunk. Officer 2 said, is this your car, ma'am? The older woman said, yes. Here are the registration papers. The officer's quite stunned. Officer 2 said, well, one of my officers claims that you do not have a driver's license. The woman digs into her handbag and pulls out a clutch purse and hands it to the officer. The officer examined the license. He looks quite puzzled. Officer 2 says, thank you, ma'am. One of my officers told me that you didn't have a license and that you stole this car and that you murdered and hacked up the owner. The older woman said, I bet that liar told you I was speeding too, didn't he? Well, sometimes you have to work through things in life, folks. Happiness is something that is learned. Joy is something that you have to create and develop within your own soul and your spirit. You know what? Nothing ever goes right for everybody, does it? No. Certainly wasn't going right for Paul when he wrote these words and said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice and let your moderation be known unto all men. Paul was chained to a prison guard. He didn't have any freedom. But in spite of all that, he's writing to this church to encourage them and the things that they're going through. He's saying, listen, hold on to your faith. Don't lose your joy. Don't lose it. A merry heart is that which brings a continual feast. Someone said, smile, brother, smile. When you smile, others smiled. And soon there are miles and miles of smiles, and life's worthwhile because you smile. So smile, brother, smile. And last of all, Happiness comes and joy does from righteous living. It does. You know, that's the thing that enables us to smile. Guilt wells up in our heart and it takes away our joy. That's why it's so important for people when they sin to get right with God. That's why it's so important when we bear that burden of guilt deep within our heart, the best thing to do is unload it. And Peter understood it when he said to cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. As long as you bear that guilt in your heart, you will never, ever have joy. Won't come. That's why Paul is writing to him, you see, to help him understand that his joy comes from his right relationship with God. Let me ask you tonight, do you have a relationship with God? Do you really? You know, sometimes we say we do. We act as if we do sometimes, but sometimes it is an act. We have to smile in the face of adversity at times and learn that our happiness, again, is not based upon the temporal things of this life or whether things are always going well. It certainly didn't for Moses, nor did it for Elijah, nor did it for Paul. Someone said, I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed, for I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's rough, but I've got loving ones around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed, and I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember time when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin, but all at once and the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not gripe about the tough rows I've hoed, for I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings, because I've already had enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads, because I'm drinking from my saucer, because my cup has overflowed. And you know what? Probably every one of us could say that tonight. Really. You ever have problems? Things go wrong? Absolutely. But in the midst of all of that, and in spite of all of that, your cup tonight is overflowing. David was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but you know what? In the midst of all of that, he said, my cup overflows. I hope yours does tonight. But if it doesn't, you want us to pray for you and this congregation of people to bow together and ask God to restore your joy. And I hope you'll respond tonight. And if you're not a Christian, that you'd obey the gospel and really find the joy that God wants to bring into your heart by being baptized. And we ask you to do that and invite you to do it while we stand and while we sing.
Hark the gentle voice.